Last Sunday morning, just a few hours before I arrived here at the cathedral, a 29-year-old man, full of hatred and armed to the teeth, walked into the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, and proceeded to murder 49 people and wound scores more. It is the most devastating singular mass shooting in American history. It specifically targeted the LGBT community. In April of 1999, when two young men entered Columbine High School and began their massacre, I was 25 years old. I was young enough at the time to remember vividly the experience of being in high school, in the library, working on some project, or in the cafeteria with friends. The familiarity of those spaces and my ability to imagine myself as a student at Columbine High School rendered that shooting intimately personal for me. It was a long time before I was able to think of Columbine without being overcome by emotion. My lifelong friends, Elizabeth Bridges and Audra Hamilton, one who is gay and the other who is not, both wrote with eloquence and passion this past week about the way in which LGBT bars and nightclubs are, for some in the gay community, places of safety and even sanctuary. In a Facebook post, Audra, who is not gay, speaks poignantly of the way in which she has always felt comfortable with her friends in such clubs. She muses why this is so, and she offers this, quote, "I suspect it was because the people who were there had fought so hard to create a place of acceptance for themselves. And I was the beneficiary of that space and that love. I felt free to be myself because they did. And they welcomed me." I will admit that the complex role of such bars and clubs in LGBT culture is news to me. I had been unaware. Though I minister to gay and lesbian Christians within this blessedly diverse congregation, and though I have beloved gay and lesbian members in my own family, I am unfamiliar with much of gay culture. And so, unlike Columbine, which resonated with familiar images and thus hit me viscerally, I'm only beginning to grasp the wound to the soul of the LGBT community caused by last Sunday's massacre in Orlando, which may be more devastating even than the death toll. This is, I believe, part of our collective challenge. We in the United States have striven to become a tolerant society. But mere tolerance does not breed familiarity. And without familiarity, there is little chance for understanding. Tolerance is a passive virtue. It says, in essence, I can abide your presence in proximity to me, but I do not want to know you. Well, I have plumbed the depths of the Gospels, and nowhere do I find Jesus exhibiting mere tolerance. Rather, Jesus embraces. Embrace is an active virtue. It's the preeminent gospel virtue. Again and again, Jesus embraces the one who is outcast and the one who exists on the margins and the one who is maligned. He does so again today when he visits the Gerasene demoniac, of whom everyone in society is terrified, who is so outcast that he lives among the tombs. Living society will tolerate him there on the edges, but that's all. Jesus, though, approaches and embraces the demoniac. And it's when all those around Jesus see that embrace that the man's demons are expelled. The man is then grafted into the heart of society as his authentic self. And in his joy, he becomes a disciple sitting at the feet of Jesus. You see, through Jesus' embrace, which comes in the forms both of physical contact and words of acceptance, Jesus declares that in God, there are no outcasts. There are no margins. And woe be to anyone who maligns any one of God's blessed and beloved children. With God's help, Christ Church Cathedral strives to be a Christian community of embrace. The cathedral is, by definition, a sanctuary. And since at least the Middle Ages, churches as sanctuaries have been places where anyone, regardless of past or background or way of life, could find acceptance and refuge, where anyone could find embrace. But there is an impulse in times of apprehension and anxiety, even for churches, to give up the role of sanctuary in favor of the role of fortress. Pulling up the drawbridge, flooding the moat, and manning the ramparts against the threatening other who is just outside the walls. Friends, we cannot, we must not. At a time when so many of those places people experience as sanctuaries in our world have been attacked. Pulse for the LGBT community in Orlando. Mother Emmanuel AME Church for the African American community in Charleston. Sandy Hook Elementary for the precious children of Newtown, Connecticut. To name only a few. The witness of sacred sanctuaries that will not succumb to fear and will continue to embrace all of God's children, come what may, has never been more important. We are a sanctuary of the living Christ, into whose precincts are welcomed any and all who seek to know the God who is love. We are a community of open arms, ready to embrace. And we must continue to be. Who needs the embrace of Christ's whole church in these days? Well, surely the Orlando community writ large, who are still reeling from last Sunday's disaster and will be for a long time. Surely the LGBT community, who have been made to feel as I felt after Columbine all those years ago. Acutely vulnerable. And surely, surely, the mainstream Muslim community in this country, who must now contend not only with age-old mistrust between Christians and Muslims and vice versa, but also with the radicalized element within Islam, which is potent and real, and whose very goal is to pit the rest of us against all of our Muslim neighbors, the overwhelming majority of whom desire God's peace, just as we do. Across social media, the question has been asked in various ways this past week by people across the social and ideological and political spectrum. And the question has been this: with whom do you stand? God willing. Now, as always, we stand with Jesus because we believe that Jesus is God incarnate. And in this instance, I have no doubt where Jesus stands. Jesus stands in embrace of all of God's children who are afraid and who are suffering and who wonder what tomorrow will bring. With Jesus supporting our faltering knees, I pray that we will stand in embrace of our LGBT brothers and sisters, and that we will stand in embrace of all people of goodwill and of any faith who seek to know the God of love, who also seek God's peace. I believe we will do. And whatever tomorrow brings, we will face it with God's help, together. Amen.